A bomb day, fugitives in Argentina. Some historians say that the American troops would have reached Berlin before the Russians if General Eisenhower had not tried to find Hitler's mountain retreat. The German redoubt stronghold was thought to have been either somewhere near Hitler's Eagle's Nest mountain villa, the Berghof in Berchtesgaden, or as far off as the Balkans. The southern redoubt bastion was said to have been stocked with helicopters, jets, ballistic missiles, and maybe nuclear weapons. Eisenhower's chief of staff, General Bedell Smith, warned of a prolonged campaign in the Alpine area. But a German redoubt fortress was never located in the Alpine mountains. In the spring of 1945, a Nazi army lieutenant with units in Yugoslavia and Greece coolly walked through the ancient streets of Athens, dressed in civilian attire. He paused at a recreational area's boulevard at the base of Mount Lycabettus and looked intently at the entrance of a well-designed tenement. A fountainhead that locals dubbed the bidet had burst apart, flooding the upper-class edifice constructed by a Bavarian street-building society. He remembered lavish times spent within the levels beneath this roadway. The opium water pipe parlor. The pantheon of pleasure. His final instructions were to stir things up, to rearrange the furniture as it were, for fear that forensic squads got close. But the Third Reich had fallen ahead of time. The lieutenant was no longer obliged to follow Hitler's orders. An aristocratic house of Harlotry went bankrupt a day before the collapse of Nazism. Rumors of released radioactivity were kept quiet. The alleyway was sopping wet and slippery. Why dirty his boots? The Nazi lieutenant grumbled and walked away. Kurt Waldheim was a former UN Secretary General and President of Austria whose complicity in Nazi war crimes was exposed when it became public that he lied about his wartime service in the Balkans. Time magazine published a picture of Waldheim in Greece, dressed as a Nazi during World War II. As a junior intelligence officer at Army Group Headquarters, Lieutenant Waldheim had few opportunities to kill people. But he was in the best possible position to understand the realities of life inside Hitler's Europe. Not only in the camps but throughout the Nazi Empire, conventional distinctions between criminal and lawful activity had collapsed. Mark Mazower, Inside Hitler's Greece, The Experience of Occupation, 1941-44, 1993. According to a 2007 New York Times report by Jonathan Kandel, Waldheim was an intelligence officer with units in Yugoslavia and Greece that killed or deported over 120,000 civilians. The Austrian general he worked for in Greece was later convicted of war crimes and executed. The UN secretary became a foreign ministry ally of future Greek Prime Minister Kostas Mitsotakis. When Kurt Waldheim left the United Nations and ran for president of Austria in 1986, his wartime past became widely known. During his presidential campaign, the efforts of his political opponents, investigative journalists, historians, and the World Jewish Congress uncovered archival evidence of Waldheim's involvement with the Nazi movement as a student and his wartime role in the Balkans. In April 1987, the U.S. put Waldheim on its watch list. He was not to be allowed entry into the U.S. as a private individual. Kurt Waldheim died in 2007 of heart failure at the age of 88. The 2011 book Grey Wolf, The Escape of Adolf Hitler by South Wales journalist Gerard Williams and co-author Simon Dunstan claimed proof that the Nazi Führer and Eva Braun didn't die in their Berlin bunker as believed, but escaped to Argentina. Jewish Telegraph of the UK published this story in its November 4 issue under the headline Hitler Suicide is Biggest Lie. Williams says there is no forensic evidence on Hitler's suicide, while there's plenty to prove that he escaped to Argentina. One of the claims made in the book is that the U.S. might have been complicit in letting Hitler escape in return for German war technology. Nazi Germany had produced the world's first jet aircraft and rocket technology and had come inches close to producing the first atomic bomb. Americans and Russians fought over German scientists, and it was German scientists on both sides that fueled the Cold War. One of the prize catches for Americans was Wernher von Braun, inventor of the V-2 ballistic missile that terrorized London, who helped launch NASA into space. It is rumored that a large number of Nazis escaped to South America, where most of them settled in Paraguay and Argentina. Nazi hunters, the most famous of whom was Simon Wiesenthal, track some of these down. The most publicized case was that of Adolf Eichmann, who was brought to Israel, put on trial, and executed for war crimes. Stefan Eilmann, Hitler didn't commit suicide, claims British journalist, Digital Journal, November 6, 2011. Gerard Williams' book, which was made into a documentary movie, based its hypothesis on testimony of Peter Baumgart reported in 1947 by Reuters and Associated Press, and other witnesses. Captain Baumgart was the Reich pilot that purportedly flew the dictator out of Germany to Denmark and then to Barcelona, Spain. They supposedly flew to the Canary Islands, where they boarded a German U-boat and landed in Argentina. Williams claimed the Führer slipped out of the besieged Berlin bunker via a secret tunnel and was replaced by a double chosen by Martin Bormann. He was then whisked by plane to Spain and by submarine to the Argentine coast at Necochea. Williams said his inquiry upset his opposition and he received death threats. Traditional historians don't like it and certain governments don't like it. We have had some death threats already. Robin Turner, Death Threats for Hitler, book author Gerard Williams, Wales Online, October 24, 2011. According to the Washington Post, the U.S. Office of Censorship intercepted a letter in July 1945 written from someone in Washington. Addressed to a Chicago newspaper, the letter claimed that Hitler was living in a German-owned hacienda 450 miles from Buenos Aires. The U.S. government gave this report enough credibility to act on it, sending a classified telegram to the American embassy in Argentina requesting help in following up the inquiry. Washington was apparently worried about a Hitler double escapee and paid cautious attention to the analysis of William Heimlich, the ex-chief of U.S. intelligence in Berlin. In the book Who Killed Hitler? 1947, edited by Herbert Moore and James W. Barrett, an explicit episode, The Double in the Führer's Kitchen, cited Heimlich declaring, "I found neither Hitler nor his physical remains." The former U.S. officer said that Hugh Trevor Roper's story did not contain a single fact of Russian intelligence finding. In August 1939, Albert Einstein sent a letter to U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt warning about the potential making of nuclear bombs. The Hungarian physicist Leo Szilard drafted the letter after learning that Germany was obtaining uranium. The fear of Germans acquiring nuclear war technology led to the Manhattan Project, an undertaking to develop atomic weapons. On December 7, 1941, Japanese fighter planes attacked the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii and brought America into World War II. During the final stages of the war in 1945, the U.S. carried out atomic bombings against Imperial Japan. On August 6, 1945, an American B-29 bomber named the Enola Gay left the island of Tinian for Hiroshima, Japan. The uranium-235 gun-type bomb, named Little Boy, exploded at 8:16 a.m. In an instant, 80,000 to 140,000 people were killed and 100,000 more were seriously injured. The blast wave shattered windows for a distance of 10 miles and was felt as far away as 37 miles. Hiroshima had disappeared under a thick, churning foam of flames and smoke. The co-pilot, Captain Robert Lewis, commented, "My God, what have we done?" Hiroshima remembered, AJ Software and Multimedia. The first atomic bomb was the equivalent of 20,000 tons of TNT. It has been estimated that around 200,000 people died over the years as a result. A second nuclear attack came 3 days later. On August 9, 1945, another American B-29 bomber, Boxcar, left Tinian carrying Fat Man, a plutonium implosion-type bomb. The primary target was the Kokura Arsenal, but upon reaching the target, they found that it was covered by a heavy ground haze and smoke and were unable to drop the bomb. The pilot, Major Charles Sweeney, turned to the secondary target of the Mitsubishi torpedo plant at Nagasaki. The bomb exploded at 11:02 a.m. over the narrow Urakama Valley northwest of downtown Nagasaki. Of the 286,000 people living in Nagasaki at the time of the blast, 74,000 people were killed and another 75,000 sustained severe injuries. Hiroshima remembered, AJ Software and Multimedia. Remorsefully, J. Robert Oppenheimer, the Manhattan Project's designer of the atomic bomb, afterward quoted words from the Bhagavad Gita, "Now, I am become death, the destroyer of worlds." He criticized the atomic bomb deployment against an overpowered enemy as a tragic mistake. Otto Hahn, the German chemist and Nobel laureate who first discovered nuclear fission, was still being detained by the Anglo-American allies at Farm Hall, an English country house in Cambridge. Hahn appeared to be contemplating suicide when the atomic bombings of Imperial Japan were announced. World War II effectively ended with the truce of August 14, 1945, VJ Day. The formal surrender of Japan came to pass on September 2, 1945. Giacomo Puccini's Madame Butterfly set in Nagasaki proved to be a charismatic opus. Even so, the anxiety of suspected sightings of a so-called Hitler double refused to go away. The Odessa or Organization of Former SS Members is believed to have been an international Nazi network set up toward the end of World War II by a group of SS officers. According to Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal, the Odessa was established in 1946 to aid fugitive Nazis. The purpose of the Odessa was to establish and facilitate secret escape routes, later known as rat lines, to allow SS members to avoid their capture and prosecution for war crimes. Most of those fleeing out of Germany and Austria were helped to South America and the Middle East. Frederick Forsyth's best-selling spy tale The Odessa File, 1972, gave a disturbing picture of the Odessa organization smuggling war criminals to Latin America. The novel was turned into a film with John Voight and Maximilian Schell. Joseph Wexberg, a former American intelligence officer and member of the U.S. War Crimes Commission, conducted interviews of reliable German anti-Nazis and claimed that plans were made for a Fourth Reich before the fall of the Third, and that this was to be put into action by reorganizing in secluded Nazi colonies overseas. It was additionally whispered that high-level military machinery in a hidden southern redoubt fortress would restart and breathe life into the coming Fourth Reich. Several high-ranking Axis leaders were tracked by the Allies and taken into custody. A series of trials by a military tribunal took place in Nuremberg from 1945 to 1949. Among defendants were 24 political and military leaders of Nazi Germany. The Nuremberg trials were directed by a tribunal, which consisted of one member and a deputy from each of the four Allied powers. These nations included the United States, France, Great Britain, and the Soviet Union. Deputy Führer Rudolf Hess had been held in England since 1941, when he had parachuted into the English sky in a solo effort to convince British leaders to make peace with the Nazi government. Reich's Marshal Hermann Göring surrendered to Americans on May 6, 1945. He spent his first evening in captivity happily drinking and singing with American officers who later were reprimanded by General Eisenhower for the special treatment they conferred. Hans Frank, the Jew butcher of Krakow, received less hospitable treatment from American soldiers in Bavaria, who forced him to run through a 70-foot line of soldiers, getting kicked and punched the whole way. Other suspected war criminals were rounded up on May 23 by British forces in Flensburg, site of the last Nazi government. The Flensburg group included Karl Dönitz, Hitler's successor as Führer, Field Marshal Wilhelm Keitel, Nazi Party philosopher Alfred Rosenberg, General Alfred Jodl, and Armaments Minister Albert Speer. Eventually, 22 of these captured major Nazi figures would be indicted. Doug Linder, The Nuremberg Trials, 2000. In the murder of Rudolf Hess, 1979, the British surgeon W. Hugh Thomas recalled his medical examination of Rudolf Hess in 1973, while Hess was in Spandau prison. The surgeon believed that there was a difference between Hess's medical records, of a bullet-wound chest scar, from World War I and the torso of the person imprisoned at Spandau. The torso cannot lie, wrote Dr. Thomas, persuaded that the Hess in Spandau prison was not the real Rudolf Hess. With his 1996 book Doppelgangers, Dr. Thomas put forward the worrying suspicion that not only Adolf Hitler had a stand-in decoy, but Rudolf Hess and Heinrich Himmler also did. Perhaps all top Reich leaders kept look-alikes as part of a master plan to escape unnoticed should the Nazi government break down. Scotland Yard at length investigated W. Hugh Thomas's doppelganger theory, and the final report is allegedly hidden from the public. A 100-year ban has supposedly been imposed on key facts concerning the so-called deaths of certain Third Reich leaders. As analysis of this report reveals, there were at least four Hitler imitators. The Nazi Führer was a national figurehead, staged as a show persona to be a meme of fascist politics. If a self-styled Hitler double, presumably guilty of war crimes, was even now roaming freely, the Odessa Ratlins granted a probable suspicion. Architect of the Holocaust Adolf Eichmann and infamous Auschwitz Dr. Joseph Mengele were among those who took flight to South America. According to Paul Manning, a correspondent for the CBS News who reported with Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite in London, eventually, over 10,000 former German military made it to South America along escape routes set up by Odessa. Hannah Arendt, in her 1963 book, Eichmann in Jerusalem, said that Adolf Eichmann established contact with Odessa and in May of 1950 was smuggled from Austria to Italy, where a Franciscan priest, fully informed of his identity, equipped him with a refugee passport in the name of Richard Clement and transported him to Buenos Aires. Eichmann was a bureaucratic mass murderer. He avoided the extermination sites and shielded himself from his acts through a bureaucratic language that deadened his conscience. Eichmann was limited, compartmentalized in mind and spirit. "Officialese is my only language," he said at his trial. Eichmann exemplified the terrifying discrepancy between the unparalleled and monstrous crime and the colorless official who carried out the evil. He viewed his victims as objects to be transported to their deaths as if they were nuts and bolts, and in 1944 he unsuccessfully sought to trade the lives of 1 million Jews for 10,000 trucks. At the end of the war, Eichmann was rounded up, but he managed to disguise his identity and escape detection. Odessa, the secret SS organization, arranged his flight to Argentina in 1952. Under the alias of Ricardo Clement, Eichmann created a new identity as the unassuming employee of the Mercedes-Benz car factory in Buenos Aires. His wife and two sons joined him. Gale Encyclopedia of Biography, Adolf Eichmann. On May 13, 1960, Eichmann was seized by Israeli agents in Argentina and smuggled back to Jerusalem to stand trial for his role in the murder of one-third of Europe's Jewish population during World War II. The trial of Adolf Eichmann in 1961 by a televised Jerusalem court shocked the world. The court sentenced him to hang. In The Real Odessa, Smuggling the Nazis to Perón's Argentina, 2002, Argentine author Yuki Goni deplored the eager role of dictator Juan Perón in providing cover for major Nazi war criminals with the complicity of the Vatican and the Argentine Catholic Church. "In those days, Argentina was a kind of paradise to us," Nazi war criminal Eric Preek confessed in 1991. According to author Goni, the Odessa escape routes were not staffed by rough Ians who wallowed in German uniforms, but by priggish representatives of the Vatican. To all intents and purposes, the dregs of Nazism emerged again in South America as a corrupt Catholic mafia financed by the illegal cartel trafficking of drugs, arms, and humans. Eva Perón was the second wife of President Juan Perón. She championed women's suffrage, spoke on behalf of labor rights, and opposed the bourgeoisie and military. Eva Perón became a part of popular culture, most notably as the focus of the musical Evita, 1976. A 1996 film of the musical was made with Madonna and Antonio Banderas. "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. The truth is I never left you. All through my wild days. My mad existence. I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance." Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, Evita, "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina," 1978. A 1954 Life magazine welcomed the face of the jet age. It greeted new challenges, from the scrutiny of atoms to space exploration. The vision of aerospace fostered the fresh myth of Planet X, a large planetary object that could pass by the Earth. In that sphere of sci-fi, bystanders' reports of Hitler's doubles continued to pester the FBI. According to one old anecdote, the Nazi dictator had indeed been found, but his medical examiners determined that he was officially insane and thus unfit to stand trial. For that reason, he was civilly confined to a private psychiatric clinic in Argentina. The 1976 novel The Boys from Brazil by I.R.A. Levin told how the Nazis planned to create a colony with the genetic clones of Adolf Hitler. The tale of hidden experiments in human genetics became a film classic starring Gregory Peck, Laurence Olivier, and James Mason. In 2010, a town in Brazil reported an unusually high twin rate due to what some observers feared were continued medical experiments by Joseph Mengele. Nazi Germany's racially based social eugenics policies advocated the biological advancement of the Aryan race or Germanic Übermenschen. Bavarian imperialists and their financial courtiers were viewed as a superior class of perfect white society. The bigoted pseudoscience sought to rewrite the human race with sterilization and artificial insemination by controlling which people become parents.